Turn to the book of Judges, the sixth chapter. We are in the middle of doing a series of lessons that we've entitled Midnight Bible Stories. And midnight, we defined when we started this, as having significance in the literal sense, in the spiritual sense, and in the figurative sense, defining the darkest times, the darkest hours of the night. And in Judges 6, we read in Judges 6 that the children of Israel were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and they cried unto the Lord. Well, they had done evil in the sight of the Lord, if you had read earlier in that chapter. And the Lord allowed the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east to overpower and take over the land of Israel, their promised land. And the children of Israel ended up living in the caves and dens in the mountains and so forth. And in Judges 6:6, it ends with, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And the Lord, if you read on down, he sent them a prophet. And he said in verse 8, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And that's why they were in the condition they were in. We get to verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which is an Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, unto him, and said unto him these 10 words, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And that's kind of where we got to when we ran out of time in our lessons last week. It's interesting that the way the Lord presents himself to Gideon here. And I'm fumbling with my notes. We find that Gideon in verse 13, you know, as he was threshing this wheat by the winepress, he was thinking about all the things that had taken place. And he was having a conversation with the Lord, and that's why the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And Gideon said unto the angel of the Lord in verse 13, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And so he didn't perceive himself or see himself as the Lord being with him or as that mighty man of valor that he was introduced as when the Lord made this statement to him in verse 12. And Gideon here, if you'll note, he was focusing upon past events, what had taken place before. The Lord wants us to go forward. You read the story of Gideon, you'll find a lot of go forward statements in here. And it'll start in verse 14, but we're not there yet. One of the things to note that Gideon was questioning the Lord about here was, where be all his miracles that the Lord had done delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt? Of course, this had happened centuries before, a couple hundred years at least. And Gideon hadn't witnessed any of these miracles, but he'd only heard of them. Where were these miracles? Gideon didn't doubt about these miracles either. But in his question, the Lord perceived that Gideon was, let's say, fascinated by the thought of miracles and expected to see some miracles that would convince him that the Lord was truly with him, as was being expressed in Judges 6:12. Kind of ironic, isn't it, that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and he didn't see that as a miracle? Yet, in a sense, it was. Would you recognize a miracle if you've seen one? Well, go look in the mirror. There sits a miracle, you know. You know. Now tell me how all you came together and were able to breathe in your heart and everything you can't see works. It's kind of a miracle, isn't it? Yeah. And it's when it doesn't work, and then it does work again, it's a miracle, right? Yeah. So looking forward, and as we progress in this lesson, we'll find that the Lord will meet and exceed Gideon's expectations of seeing a miracle. He'll see several of them. He's a slow one to convince, kind of like us, right? We don't want to demean Gideon and put ourselves on a pedestal because we're looking back on this story that was over 3,000 years ago. We need to realize how important this story was, that we're still reading about it and talking about Gideon 3,200 years later, something like that. So I found it of interest as I went through my studies to note that the word miracles that Gideon used here in Judges 6:13 is found 27 times in Scripture. And 27 is the number that has to do with the preaching of the gospel. What do you think was taking place here? The preaching of the gospel means preaching the word of God. The Lord, who was speaking to Gideon here in the verses of Judges 6, he was the word of God himself. Thus, Gideon was being preached the gospel by the word of God himself, the same guy, the same Lord who performed all the miracles Gideon had heard about. And that, for those of you that like to study these things out further, that Hebrew word that is translated miracles is Pala, P-A-L-A. It's number 06381 in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance. And this word Pala translates into other words that we read as work, wonders, wonderful, wonderfully, marvelous, marvelously, and several other words that express the thought of to be marvelous, to be wonderful, to be surpassing, and to be extraordinary. And take a second and go back to Genesis 18:14. And there is the first time we find the Hebrew word Pala in Scripture. And it's interesting to note, it isn't any of these words that we just went over, but it's expressed in this whole sentence or question. When the Lord announces his miraculous intentions to Abraham and Sarah there in Genesis 18:14, and he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's got miracles written all over it. Every miracle that you ever seen was easy for the Lord. And after the Lord made this statement to Abraham and Sarah, Isaac was born a year later to Sarah, who was 90 years old, same age as my mother. Wow. Think about that. And a personal note of mine concerning miracles. It's been my observation that the Lord enjoys performing miracles, but he gets kind of bored doing it the same way twice. So he'll do the same thing, a miracle, differently every time, it seems like. But the Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 3:20 that the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That's miracles. So how he gets from that point to this point, it's his business. When he performs a miracle, he gets a kick out of doing it. Luke 18:27 tells us this, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So, Gideon, only believe. Remember that song we sing, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. What are we only believing for? The impossible, miracles. So Gideon was fascinated with miracles. Well, in Judges 6:14, we read the Lord's response to Gideon and his questions that he had just asked in verse 13. And the Lord says to Gideon, and look at this, and the Lord, it says, not the angel of the Lord anymore, it's the Lord. We'll talk about this. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? The Lord, it is the Lord that was appearing to Gideon. We've talked about this sometimes, when the angel of the Lord is none other than the Lord himself. How important is it when the Lord appears to somebody in Scripture? We still talk about it. He singles somebody out, pays him a visit. And Gideon is kind of like, you know. I'd sure like to see a miracle. How about you'd like to see the Lord? There he is. Is that a miracle? Yeah. And concerning this verse, Sister Bodie wrote this sentence. This literally means that the Lord turned his face upon Gideon and let it shine with all its warmth of love and power down on him. Now, that's what Gideon was seeing here, when the Lord looked upon him. Now, think about this. Back in Luke 24, Jesus appeared unto the two disciples going to Emmaus on the day of his resurrection. And something held their eyes from immediately seeing that it was Jesus who talked with them, and that it was Jesus who went with them on their way, and that it was Jesus who expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning Christ himself. And then in Luke 24:30, You want to turn her, you can. I'll give you a second. Okay. And it came to pass, Luke 24:30, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened after spending that day afternoon with him. Their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And what they say? They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Has the Holy Spirit ever opened up the scriptures to you and let the Lord talk to you? Wow. I mean, it happens if you read the Word of God and you're filled with the Holy Ghost all the time. And what a powerful thing. What happened to these disciples from Emmaus, traveling to Emmaus, these two disciples, their depression and discouragement had vanished. Also, as soon as their eyes were opened and knew it was Jesus who had been speaking with them. Before that, they were down in the dumps, you know, about the crucifixion of Jesus and stuff. We'll go back to Judges 6. And think about Gideon. When the Lord looked on him, what did he feel? Some pretty powerful things here, as the Lord said to him, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Argue with that, Gideon. You know? Don't you suppose also that Gideon's heart also burned within him as he saw the Lord's penetrating eyes and felt his powerful, loving words, words that melted his heart? The second thing to note in Judges 6:14 is the Lord's three-part response to Gideon's questions and his comments of verse 13. Back in verse 13, Gideon wasn't yet focused upon moving forward with the Lord, but he was stuck in his present impoverished condition that he and all Israel were now living in because of the Midianites. But the Lord isn't stuck in that spot, and he tells Gideon, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? With these words, Gideon's own depression and discouragement were about to change. The first response of the Lord was, go in this thy might. Secondly, the Lord told Gideon, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now think back to Moses, because he had some arguments with the Lord too, didn't he? Back in Exodus 2 and 3, same kind of arguments that he was now hearing from Gideon, Moses had with the Lord. And Moses asked the Lord in Exodus 3:11, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Why me, Lord? And the Lord's answer to Moses is recorded in Exodus 3:12-14, which you can read on his own. But here's what the Lord said to Moses in kind of a nutshell. Moses, certainly, I will be with thee. Moses, I have sent thee. Moses, I am that I am. And thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now we know here in Judges 6 that the Lord had been looking upon Gideon from the ages past, and now was appearing unto him face to face. And when the Lord looked upon Gideon, What did the Lord see? Well, surely the Lord saw that Gideon was a man, and the Lord knew his weakness as a man. We talked last week also that the Lord knew what was in Gideon's heart. And the Lord, when he appeared to Gideon here, had been encouraging Gideon, starting with his greeting in verse 12. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You talking to me? You know? Gideon, get it, buddy. The Lord is with thee. Okay? Here in verse 14, the same Lord who spoke to Moses was now looking at and speaking unto Gideon. Again, verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? We know the Lord doesn't lie. He tells the truth. What's the problem here, Gideon? Don't you get it? Well, he tells us a lot of things, and we kind of like, what? Me? You're talking to me? The very same I am that I am that sent Moses from to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of bondage in Egypt was now telling Gideon almost the very same message. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And note that the Lord's third response to Gideon here in verse 14 is actually a question. Have not I sent thee? Questions are, we've noted this many times in Sunday school, but questions are asked to make one think of an answer. Pause and think. Have not I sent thee? Well, yeah, I guess so. You got the right guy here, you know, you think like that, we do. And the Lord had already answered this question that he asked of Gideon, but Gideon had not yet processed, let's say, the answer. The Lord is with thee, Gideon. All you have to do is go in the strength that is now upholding you. My strength, Gideon. And the Lord who is with thee will help you to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Gideon still didn't quite get it yet. But remember a statement Brother Hill used to often make, and this applies to Gideon and us. One with God is a majority. One with God is a majority. I'm one guy, Lord. How am I going to defeat the Midianites? Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Well, one with God is a majority, Gideon. And this is the lesson the Lord was trying to teach Gideon. But like us, Gideon was slow to receive this message, and the message boils down to this: only believe. Now, think about this. Gideon knows this. Gideon will not save Israel from the hand of the Midianites in his own strength. Not in a million years. And Gideon knows this, too. So he asks the Lord some questions here. In Judges 6:15, and it says there, and he, Gideon, said unto the Lord, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord probably is thinking, what's your point? Have not I sent thee? You know? The Lord knows Gideon is the man for the job, and that his qualifications are being poor in Manasseh. And Manasseh means causing to forget. He also knows he's the least in his father's house. And this kind of sounds a little bit like David. I want you to turn to Psalms 18. David lived about 430 years after Gideon, so Gideon would have known David. But David, too, was the least in his father's house. And yet the Lord sent Samuel to anoint David to be king over Israel. At the end of his life, or during his life, David sang a song of deliverance that was so important and so profound that it's recorded twice in Scripture. I had you turn to Psalms 18, but this song of deliverance of David's is found in 2 Samuel 22 and in Psalm 18. Is that an important thing to have something written twice? Twice is a number, two is a number of sufficient testimony, sufficient witness. The one thing I want you to note here as we look at some verses here in Psalm 18 is that this song of deliverance of David's, in it he acknowledges where his strength comes from. Let's look at part of these Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. David says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Where did his strength come from? "O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower." That's a lot of things just in those two verses. Drop down to verse 29. And, you know, you can as we read through this, Brother Hill used to quote from this constantly. Remember in his sermons? Verse 29. "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." Kind of sounds like David, the least in his father's house, had learned real well the lesson that the Lord was now teaching Gideon. And in Judges 6, we'll find that Gideon has a ways to go before he learns the lesson that the Lord was his strength and that the Lord was his might that would be on display to deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. And if I told you how he delivered them, you wouldn't believe it, but you know the story. And we'll get to that because it's very unusual, and it had to be the Lord that did it. Okay, well, let's go back to Judges. Again, read this in Judges 6:15, the lesson that the Lord teaches Gideon that he needs to learn in order to deliver Israel. And it says in Judges 6:15, Gideon asked, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" In other words, how can I deliver Israel? And the Lord answers in verse 16, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." He just keeps adding to it, doesn't he, the Lord? But he already told him back in verse 12, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And so he expounds upon what he's already told him. "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." There's a statement in 1 Samuel 14:6 that reads, "The Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Gideon, that was 1 Samuel 14:6. Gideon was being told by the Lord the very same thing when he says, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." In other words, Gideon, here's what you need to get. One with God is a majority. This is the lesson, buddy. Now, it's going to take, you're a man. It's going to take you a little while to get this. One with God is a majority, okay? And as you read this, you got to see that the Lord viewed the multitude of the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east that could not really be numbered because there were so many of them. The Lord viewed them as one man. "Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Additionally, the Lord saw Gideon to be stronger than this multitude only because it was the Lord who was with Gideon, and it was the Lord who had told Gideon, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." You think Gideon, as these words were spoken to him, do you think he got it? I mean, he's getting it. It's taking him a little bit of time. You got to realize these are pretty powerful words. And realize also that the Lord didn't waste his time in making various appearances unto a man in Scripture. And the Lord appearing unto Gideon was no exception to this fact. You can think of it like this. Each time the Lord or the angel of the Lord appeared unto a man in Scripture, it's a high watermark portion of Scripture. And in each case, the overruling power of the Lord was magnified, if you just think back on it, on all those times. That's a good study. These appearances unto man in Scripture by the Lord or the angel of the Lord, they also mark turning points in the lives of the men and women whom the Lord appeared unto. These events changed the course of their lives and often had a far-reaching effect on the lives of many others, including nations, including you and me, if you want to think about it. All of these points are amplified in our midnight Bible story of Gideon. Yet it would still take a little more time and a little more learning before Gideon really realized the importance of this event, that he really realized it was the Lord that was speaking to him, even. You get down to verse 22, he says, "And when Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord," it took him to clear down to verse 22 to figure this out. A little slow, wasn't he? Kind of like us. Now, as we get to Judges 6:17 and 18, Gideon has heard from the Lord himself that the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He's heard, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" He has heard, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Then in Judges 6:17, Gideon asked the Lord, and he said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight," I almost have to laugh. Why else would he have appeared to him if he hadn't found grace in his sight? "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee." And the Lord said, "I will tarry until thou come again." The Lord's patient with us. He knows we're men. And he can tell us something 100 times. And it might take 200 times before we get it. I guess we'll have to pick up from there if the Lord tarries till next week. Meanwhile, we need to go forward ourselves. Keep looking for the Lord's soon coming.